Welcome in, everyone, to the 66th episode of the Deep Dive Dynasty Podcast. We're your hosts, Toby and Colin. Toby, how have you been doing, man?
Pretty fantastic. The sun is shining, and this month of July is the last month without football for a very long time.
This week in our divisional deep dive series, we're going to be discussing our second last division, the NFC South. So that, of course, means your Super Bowl champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the New Orleans Saints, Carolina Panthers, and the Atlanta Falcons. We're going to be going through every single dynasty-relevant player on all four of these rosters and just giving you our takes of, you know, how we value each of these guys going forward for dynasty. As always, make sure you follow us on Twitter, keep up with everything we got going on over there, and if you're listening to us on Apple, I'd really appreciate it if you left us a review. It would definitely help us as we're a still somewhat new growing podcast.
Do it.
Toby, let's get into the division winner, not the Super Bowl winner. They'll be second. Mm-hmm. The New Orleans Saints is the first team we're going to be talking about today. And
the Drew Breesless Saints, I guess, most importantly.
Pulling back the curtain, we have left both this division and the Packers division, the NFC North, for the final two. And that's because there's a couple of quarterback situations that everything revolves around. And this is one of two.
And it's still murky.
100%. We did not get clarity. And the reason why I wanted to go with this division before the NFC North is I don't think we're figuring this one out for another month. Whereas there's a chance at any time Aaron Rodgers could sign and we could have clarity there. So that's why I was like, okay, we'll do this one. We'll save that for last. See if we get any info by next week. At the top of this team, you've got head coach Sean Payton and longtime offensive coordinator Pete Carmichael. He's one of these coaches, Sean Payton is. It doesn't really matter too much who's the OC. We know this system. We know exactly what they're going to do. We've seen it for years and years. Almost like I can't remember a Saints team that wasn't running this offense at this point. We know exactly the type of high-octane offense that Sean Payton's going to run, and it's likely, regardless of what quarterback is starting, going to be one that will produce quite a lot of fantasy points. So, the big question here. Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. What's so difficult, not just looking at these two, but looking at everyone down the roster, is it does change a lot which of these two quarterbacks will be starting, and we honestly don't have that much insight towards which one will be starting.
There's also the frustrating idea that they could have a kind of quarterback by committee system, which we have never seen before. It'd be unprecedented.
Yeah.
But it's also not unthinkable. When you look at Winston's skill set and you look at Hill's skill set, they did this to an extremely small degree with Breeze. You would have Hill come in for packages maybe 5% of the game. Is there a world in which they're like, you know what, Hill, we're going to use you 35% of the game?
It is hard for me to imagine, but that doesn't mean it's not possible. I do think when you're looking at Taysom Hill, at minimum, he's going to have the role he had when Breeze was there, and you know he's still going to see the field a little bit. But then, of course, at maximum, he's the starter that doesn't leave the field. So at this point, the way you basically have to look at it when you're filling out projections or rankings is, okay, so this offense was faced with this exact same decision last year. Drew Breeze went down, and they had both these guys on the roster, right? Mm-hmm. So who did they start? They went to Taysom Hill. And that immediately makes me think, okay, you've got to think, based off of their moves, the most likely thing is they're going to go to Taysom Hill. However, most of the, you know, beat reports, that type of stuff, and also what the coaching staff has said throughout is that they're kind of gearing up Winston to be that starter. So it's really just, do you trust what they've done or what they say?
I also think last year's situation, while it's like a good node to look at, I don't think it's all important because it was an unexpected injury in the middle of the season when Taysom Hill's already been a part of that offense for 3 years, whereas Winston had just signed, so it might have been the veteran nod just within the system, maybe.
It's possible.
I can see them saying, Taysom knows more of this stuff right now, let's just play safe, let's play good football, and we'll pick up some wins, which they did, which is another thing. As an organization, Taysom was winning you games.
He wasn't that bad. Honestly, his accuracy was pretty good. He doesn't look like an amazing pocket passer out there.
No, he's not going to be making great reads down the field.
But he wasn't awful. He seemed like an average starter. Like, he can go in and lead an organization to wins. That's definitely a good option for them to have. This team probably has, like, the best backup quarterback in the league, honestly. And it's hilarious to think that they were their second and third stringer last year. When you're looking at these actual guys for how you have them on your dynasty team, it's very risky to have one or the other. Because, in my opinion, neither of them have a higher than 60% chance of starting. I personally feel that Winston is slightly more likely, and it's probably about 60%. And Taysom Hill at 40% of being the starter, that's a huge amount. And there's also the chance that maybe Winston starts and he has a bad game, and we saw what we saw on the Bucks where they're switching back and forth.
Yeah.
So they have incredibly high risk, but it's important to remember that how I view them, at least, is that whoever will be the starter here is going to be productive.
I agree.
We either have Taysom Hill, who is that Konami code running quarterback. We know, we saw it last year. He's going to put up points on his own, rushing and touchdowns, etc. He's clearly a great athlete. Or you have Jameis Winston, who we have also seen, regardless of times when he's been not great for NFL football, he's always put up a ton of points. And he's also a part of a high octane, good creative offense with Sean Payton. So I really do believe if you have either of these guys, if they're the starter, I'm totally willing to start them for fantasy. Like in Superflex, if you have some other guy, you've got Josh Allen as your one, and then you have the combo here, that's a pretty good quarterback too. Like there is the chance one could get benched or anything could happen, but I'm very confident to have either one of them starting, whoever happens to be the starter that day.
I think on a points per game basis, if Taysom Hill's made the starter, he'll score more points than Jameis Winston on a points per game basis.
Sure.
But if I'm saying which one of these guys, if I could only have one, which I'm not suggesting, if I could only have one, I'd take Winston. Winston is more of a future.
So the only last thing I would want to say is, if you have one, are you aggressively trying to get the other?
Yes. Or aggressively trying to get my asset to the guy with the other.
I somewhat agree. I think if I have one or the other, you can play the gamble of even like, okay, you have Winston, you wait for him to be announced week one starter, and then you go try to get Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
But I want that security, especially if I'm somewhat relying on this as my quarterback one, quarterback two type scenario. Then they drafted this year in the fourth round, Ian Book, who was a bit of a surprise. Yeah, a real bookworm. He was a bit of a surprise pick, I think. He went over a lot of other guys that many people had ranked over him. I actually did have Ian Book as my number 8 quarterback, which was still below that Kyle Trask, Kellen Mond, who we knew were going to get more draft capital. But I actually like him basically more than all those other day 3 type guys. He may not have a very high fantasy ceiling, but he's okay. So I think he's worth a speculative add in Superflex leagues.
Sure. The wide receiving core for this Saints team starts and finishes with Michael Thomas. Just kidding. But I mean, in in terms of tiers, Michael Thomas is the guy. He is nothing short of a prolific pass catcher. And with Drew Brees, he was nothing short of a top-tier talent.
Totally.
For any wide receiver. Now, what is he? Again, Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston. It's much harder to decide. What is already decided is that he is this team's number one target.
And he's going to be targeted a ton regardless of who is at quarterback.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. I do think that Michael Thomas is undervalued right now just because of the wildly murky quarterback situation. How could it not be? Mm-hmm. Sure, that's fine. But he's not old enough yet for us to be saying, you know, oh, you know, I don't worry about he's passing the ball. He's going to get hyper-targeted.
Yeah.
He's going to get hyper-targeted. And this is a Saints team that needs that alpha wide receiver, and they have him.
I agree. So I agree that he is undervalued right now. I find where he's going in startups to be just simply too low.
Yeah.
I think what I would be doing is hoping he has a very good year again this year, and then there's a boon of his value, and then I would probably try to move him because he's nearing that age where he's, you know, a few years from falling off, so I want to trade him while he's still viewed as that totally elite asset, but he's not looked as that right now. So I'm holding him right now. I think he's going to have a great year, and then I'm going to see how his value progresses in the next couple of years. Below him is a hodgepodge of names, and it's hard to know who is even the number two, unless you're counting Alvin Kamara as the number two, because let's be real, he's the number two target.
Sure.
You have Traquan Smith, who is going to burn down the sideline. There's the most hype for him. He has the most potential to level up and be that number two. But we said that for a couple years, and he hasn't done it yet.
I'm not a Traquan Smith believer. In fact, sell all your Traquan Smith stocks. My personal belief is he's not going to level up, and he's not going to be an entirely...
I would agree. I don't see any of these guys as being that like true future number two guy.
Yes.
Marquez Callaway and Deontay Harris are their next two. These are like special team specialists. You know, they're fast. They're very elusive when the ball is in their hand, but they're not very refined NFL wide receivers.
Agreed.
Yet, I think those four that we just mentioned are the clear four top guys on the team. They may run a decent amount of different personnel. They may not always have three or four guys out there, but those are the four that I expect to see on the field the most. And taking a shot on any of them is okay, but I don't value any of Traquan, Callaway, or Deontay Harris as, you know, a very valuable dynasty asset at this point.
No, I see a lot of these names the way I saw Marquez Valdes-Scantling last year, in that he's going to have some big blow-up games with a couple of maybe Winston deep bombs, maybe Hill deep bombs.
Mm-hmm.
Any of these guys, be it Smith, Callaway, Harris. I do not see them getting the separation they need to be demanding and deserving of all the targets they would need to get to level up.
Mm-hmm. Also, just wanted to throw it there, when you're valuing these wide receivers, looking at that quarterback battle, there is a definite different ceiling depending on if it's Winston or Taysom. I am so much more excited, not only for Michael Thomas, but also these other auxiliary guys. If Winston's the quarterback, yeah. So that's definitely something to monitor. Below them, just a couple of the names. One name that I only threw in because of his name is Lil Jordan Humphrey is my favorite name in the entire NFL, and I don't expect him to be that relevant. They also drafted Kawan Baker this year, I believe in the late seventh round, so he's a total deep shot, but hey, if there's any depth chart you may be able to rise up, this is definitely one of them. The true number two target on this team, the elite running back, Alvin Kamara. He got paid last offseason. We know who he is. We just saw the last time we were paying attention in fantasy, he scored 6 touchdowns.
And it should have been 7.
It should have been. Latavius stole one, which still makes me mad.
Alvin Kamara.
He's incredible. He's a great running back.
Regardless of if it's Winston or Hill. We haven't set our running back rankings yet, but Alvin Kamara should... I think there's an argument that he's number one, potentially.
Can't be over McCaffrey.
I wouldn't have him over McCaffrey, no.
You could say number two. But I don't think you can say number one.
Yes. I do think in terms of redraft value next year, this man is going to explode.
Okay.
I think he is poised because I think the Saints team is going to need to channel it through him.
My one fear with Kamara is if you have Taysom Hill. There was 4 games last year in which Taysom Hill was his starter, and 3 of the 4 times he was not seeing anywhere close to the target share he was seeing with Breeze.
Yeah.
And so even Winston, he's a downfield passer. I am a bit concerned that his target share may be less than it was. But we were just talking about this wide receiver room. He is a better receiver than these other guys. I think he can be that number two receiver regardless. But at the same time, I don't want Taysom Hill in there for his sake because he's going to be stealing rushing touchdowns and not dumping it off as much because he'll pull it down and take it himself.
True.
Ideally, for Kamara, I want it to be Winston. Kamara is at that age, again, as I was saying with Michael Thomas. You might want to start considering selling him for top dollar. But again, I don't know if top dollar is what you're getting for him right now with this ambiguity that's surrounding the quarterback situation. I do expect, regardless, he's running back one, very solid top-end guy. In redraft, he's going to be like my number 3, 4, 5 type running back. He's someone I'm super excited about, and because of the offense, you know he's going to score a lot. Then Latavius Murray is a undervalued handcuff to me.
Yeah.
He does not get the respect he deserves. I was actually looking, we'll talk about him later, but Javian Hawkins, I looked at where he was going. He's going above Latavius Murray. We'll get to Javian Hawkins, but I believe Latavius was going as the running back 57 or 8 right now, and that's simply too low for a guy.
Javian Hawkins should not be going over Latavius Murray.
Oh, we'll get there.
Okay.
Yeah, Latavius Murray is not only somewhat usable with Kamara on the field, but when Kamara ever gets hurt, and he's running back, people get hurt, Latavius will step into a very large role, and you can immediately start him week in and week out. So he's someone that's worth owning, even though he probably doesn't have that many more years around left in the league. Then the third guy, the only other guy that I wanted to add, because they also signed undrafted free agent Stevie Scott, but I'm not even a huge fan of his tape, so I don't think we need to talk about him too much, is Ty Montgomery. And Ty Montgomery, I think, is an okay, bigger scat back type. Probably in the case that Kamara does go down, I would expect him to spell Latavius Murray a decent amount, but again, he's nothing too exciting. He's just a shot to take in a deep roster if you're basically banking on some injury. Tight end is another position that is a little bit interesting for this team because Adam Troutman is starting to get a lot of hype. Toby, how do you view Adam Troutman for this year and beyond?
Listen, the Fishman is a talented asset. I think that Troutman is walking into a lot of vacated targets. They're not even vacated at this point. I think he's going to create some because, as we've already been talking about it, we're making arguments that maybe the running back is the second best target. Troutman is a good enough player that he should be getting the football in his hands. He should be catching the ball. He has high draft pedigree to back him up. He has really no one else. There is Nick Vannett, who's behind him, more of a veteran.
Yeah, nothing too exciting, yeah. Especially not for Dynasty.
He's there. Adam Troutman is younger, faster, stronger. And I don't see a world in which the Saints give up trying to pass to the tight end, especially with the creativity they're going to need from their offense to produce. They're going to need to be targeting their tight ends. And I think Adam Troutman is undervalued right now.
Yeah, I agree that despite there being some hype for him amongst the more like hardcore Dynasty community, there's a lot of people that really haven't caught on to that hype train yet because
he hasn't really done anything.
A year ago,
yet.
He wasn't even really a name. He was just third round pick, hadn't really done anything yet. You know, in playoffs, I believe he scored his first touchdown, or maybe it was like week 17.
Can't remember.
Either way, he was buried behind Jared Cook. And with all of these guys, there's the chance they become that Ian Thomas guy where we have some hype for him and he doesn't produce. But he is in as good of a situation as anyone that the opportunity to produce is absolutely there. And so we have recommended you buying him before. I don't know if now is the time because there is some of that hype, but look for him in your startup drafts because depending on the group you're drafting with, a lot of people aren't quite aware enough of Adam Troutman yet. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, fresh off of a Super Bowl victory, they essentially have the exact same team that just won in that Super Bowl. It starts with Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich, who are the exact same two as we saw last year, and that will be a pattern as we go forward.
They're really just looking to run it back.
Mm-hmm. And the way I view this coaching staff is, you know, you can basically break last season down into two parts. And the way that I view how it happened was the first half of the year, Bruce Arians was really trying to implement his system, the one that he used with the Cardinals and he's used before. And then the second half of the year, Tom Brady was like, no, man, I can run an offense. Let me do it.
And he did.
And it was Brady's system and it worked better. And of course, they went on a big run and won a Super Bowl. And so how I look at these coaches is like, it's just Tom Brady's offense. It doesn't even matter. And Tom Brady is, of course, the quarterback. He is going to be not only running the offense, but throwing the ball to some elite receivers. Of course, at this point, Tom Brady is 44 years old, I believe. So guaranteed, he does not have a lot of time left. He is also, for maybe the first time in his career, stated that 2 weeks ago, I believe. He's like, the end is near. So it's like, yeah, we already knew that, but we have been saying that for 5 years now. The end is truly near now. You either, I would say, have 1 or 2 years of Tom Brady. However, that 1 or 2 years is going to be pretty good fantasy production.
Yeah.
I don't think it will necessarily live up to the amount of points he was scoring at the end of last year once he really got it going. I don't think you can extrapolate those numbers out to that extent, but he has a really good supporting cast around him. He is going to throw the ball a lot. Despite the fact that he's going to give you next to no rushing yards, in fact, probably negative rushing yards on the year, what he's going to do just in terms of passing down yardage, the amount of touchdowns he'll throw for is enough that especially if he's my quarterback too, if I'm going for the win right now, he's a valuable guy to just keep holding and keep playing.
Behind Tom Brady, you got Kyle Trask, most recent draft pick.
The final pick of the second round, and I mean, you've got to assume at this point he's going to be the incumbent.
Yes, the only other player in the QB room, you got Blaine Gabbert.
Who's also really old. Maybe not Tom Brady old, but old.
Maybe Gabbert starts if, you know, Brady has a sore elbow or something over Trask.
I would say yes. For this year, I would expect a Tom Brady injury means Gabbert starting.
But I think in terms of Dynasty, Gabbert is just next to useless. Whereas Kyle Trask has the clearest shot at quarterback just because Tom Brady's going to retire. 44-year-olds,
they don't play in the NFL.
They don't play in the NFL, all right?
Yeah, Kyle Trask is interesting in that there's a decent chance he's starting either the start of next year or the start 2 years from now. We don't know the fantasy ceiling. He's not a very mobile guy. He's just a distributor of the ball. Kind of reminds you of Tom Brady, though. He ran a very prolific offense in Florida, and he has at no point through the process been someone I've been heavily targeting, but I also think he might be undervalued at this point because just flash forward right now to next offseason, Tom Brady announces his retirement, and you can guarantee you're going to be able to sell Kyle Trask for way more than you can buy him for right now. So regardless of him ever stepping on the field, this is an asset that you know is just going to appreciate, so I'm totally willing to grab him right now. The first wide receiver we're going to list here, because there's a clear three, is Chris Godwin. And Chris Godwin, at this point, he is playing on a franchise tag, and I think it's very realistic to assume that he is going to move on from this team after the 2021 season. I not only like Godwin's chances to improve upon what he did in 2020, he was dealing with some injuries and, you know, just overall underwhelmed, I would say, but I actually really like the prospect he can bring to some other team where he can find himself a role without nearly as much target competition and just soak up a ton of targets. He can act like Keenan Allen has acted in that offense or Julian Edelman throughout his career, just being that slot guy who is, to be fair, a good amount more athletic, I would say, than Julian Edelman, but he brings a lot of that same stuff to the game and can be a really valuable dynasty asset. I would probably rank him as a wide receiver 2 for this year, but that's still exciting because I think in future years he can easily become that wide receiver 1, and his value has already dropped so much from where it was at, I guess, one full year ago, that in my opinion he's a pretty good buy right now. There's also, of course, Mike Evans there, and Mike Evans is a very different role, but similar in that he is very prolific at it. He is good at getting separation. He is, for whatever reason, always undervalued. And I think that may come from how sporadic some of his fantasy points come. He'll have really good weeks, really bad weeks.
There's games where he gets shut down, he gets frustrated. Totally. You see him on the sidelines, but he's so valuable. Mm-hmm. And I do agree that he's undervalued.
Uh-huh. And I expect him to have, again, a good year this year. And if Godwin leaves, better years to come. You don't know what that quarterback situation is going to look like, but he's a good enough wide receiver that he can be that type to soak up a big amount of target share regardless.
Third name up, Antonio Brown. I hate this man.
That's fair.
But in terms of having him as your wide receiver 3, I mean, it's just not right. Mm-hmm. That's just unfair.
We saw him come in stronger and stronger as the year went on, as he got more acclimated to the offense. And I actually think that if you look at where the 3 wide receivers on this offense are being drafted right now, he's a clear value because I don't think the difference between him and those other 2 for just 2021 will be as significant as their draft cost is right now. So he's not only just a good value at where you can get him right now, I think also there's the potential that either one of these 2 guys goes down and he can slide into a bigger target share, bigger role. So Antonio Brown at current draft cost is someone that's quite worth it, I would say. And as much as the Steeler fan over here may dislike him, he's clearly still talented and is going to bring a lot to this potent offense.
Yeah, he's going to be getting in the end zone more and more next year, I believe, as well. Mm-hmm. Scotty Miller up next. And Scotty Miller is pretty decent, man. I really like him as a number 4. Really like him as a team player. I don't like him in Dynasty.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. He is a good deep shot guy, but he's not someone that I expect to ever see a very high target share. But yeah, he's more helpful to the offense than he is to your Dynasty team.
Whereas Tyler Johnson, the 5th name in this wide receiver room, actually is interesting to me in Dynasty. Okay. It's only going to be his 2nd year in the NFL, and he showed some flashes. Unbelievable catch radius, great hands. Really difficult for him to break out in Tampa Bay at any point. That's going to be extremely hard. But he is too talented to keep playing behind Scotty Miller. When Chris Godwin leaves, he could walk into the wide receiver 3 position, and from there, I'd like to see what he can do. So he's a definite hold for me. Even if he's not doing anything right now in your roster, I would hold Tyler Johnson.
Mm-hmm. He's a guy you would ideally have in your taxi squad if you can have him for a couple years, because I still don't expect him to be useful for fantasy this year at all. He would need 2, maybe more injuries to be like very significantly useful, but that opportunity does exist that he could slide into that Godwin role. And if you consider how cheap he is right now, I think you're right that he's someone to definitely keep an eye on. Then lastly, they've got Jalen Darden, who was drafted in the 4th round, and more like Scotty Miller. Sure, he was drafted even earlier than Tyler Johnson was only a year before, but Jalen Darden's that really fast guy who I like him potentially at value just because he was never a guy who really saw any hype. But if I'm comparing these type of prospect profiles, I'm much more willing to go for the type like Tyler Johnson because he has that opportunity to find himself in a slot role where he can see a much higher target share. The running back room, in my opinion, is a bit of a mess. Toby, why don't you tell me how you think the combination of Fournette and Ronald Jones is going to break down this year?
Why don't I? It's so difficult to know. If I'm just saying who's the better dynasty asset, I think it's Ronald Jones. He's slightly younger. I think he has more to offer just in terms of fresh legs, so to speak.
I've never been a Ronald Jones guy, and like last year in the offseason, I was touting that Fournette was going to be the guy. Ronald Jones looked better last year, and I would agree that I would rather have him in Dynasty.
I think they used Leonard Fournette extremely effectively last year, and that they started bringing him in the near the end of the third quarter, fourth quarter, almost like you're bringing in a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're bringing in guys for the fourth quarter in basketball. And it was this odd but complimentary and effective role of bringing in Fournette when they needed him, whereas I felt Ronald Jones was getting slightly more opportunities. Also, Leonard Fournette's not outrunning people for a 98-yard run. That's Ronald Jones' territory.
Yeah, definitely not like he used to be able to.
No. I think that Fournette is going to turn into more of a Mark Ingram type of player, which isn't unusable and isn't bad by any standards. But Ronald Jones is the more dynamic player. He, in my opinion, is the far better pass catcher. And I do think he's a better pass catcher, even though everyone rips on Jones for his hands.
Yeah,
and
I could argue that point.
I hear it. I get it. I just think he's better.
Mm.
Like, just passing the eye test. I think Jones is, at the end of the season, will say, okay, Ronald Jones is the player of the Bucks' future and not Leonard Fournette.
I think the most likely scenario is that neither of them are, because I don't think either of them are that good. But
okay, that's fair.
Ronald Jones does look better to me on tape. He looked better last year. I disagree that he's a very good pass catcher, and I think they proved that they wanted to pass to every single guy they could besides Ronald Jones out of their backfield
last
year.
They went and signed Gio Bernard, so...
Yeah, and they, you know, wanted Bell, supposedly, and everything else, so I do think they don't trust him in that way, and they only very somewhat trust Leonard Fournette. He isn't exactly the most amazing pass catcher either, but yeah, I at this point would lean Jones as well. Keyshawn Vaughn, their third round pick last year, heavily disappointed, and I think he's starting to definitely trend because there isn't even hype right now for him of impressing. He's getting close to that bust fall out of the league, maybe a Kerryon Johnson or worse type of career trajectory. And then, as you mentioned, they signed Gio Bernard, who is the clear best pass catcher in this group. He is older now, he is not going to be that explosive, but we saw Tom Brady make James White a thing for so long. And that is the role that Gio could absolutely start to be in this offense. And we're watching this become Brady's offense. We saw the Patriots use that annoying committee for years. That's basically what I expected of this backfield, unfortunately.
Totally fair.
At the tight end position, you still have a trio of interesting, I guess, guys. I don't know. I'm not hyped about any of them, but none of them are that bad. Rob Gronkowski, OJ Howard, Cameron Brate. First with Rob Gronkowski, he's most likely to score the most fantasy points this year, but he doesn't have a crazy high ceiling. So I do think he's the one I would take because obviously he has great rapport with Brady and he's going to be the one who sees the most touchdowns. But the guy that intrigues me still to this day is OJ Howard because of the athlete and the fact that before he got hurt last year, it did start to trend in his direction where Brady was throwing him the ball more and more. Cameron Brate's not someone I'm truly interested in this point, but realistically, I'm not that excited about any of these guys to take a big step forward, and the main problem is that all three of those wide receivers are so good that I don't expect the tight end position to see that many target opportunities other than probably Gronk scoring a bunch of touchdowns.
I'm shocked Cameron Brate is still playing.
In the NFL?
I'm surprised he's still playing. You know, he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine.
I'm surprised he's still with his team, and I'm surprised he's still playing. But I think he does some behind-the-scenes blocking that is
That's true.
Not fantasy relevant.
I will also say OJ Howard will be on the end of his contract at the end of this year. So he's, as much as he's probably in the realm of David Njoku at this point, there is still, with both of those guys, the upside that they could find a different team and become the receiver that we saw in college. And for OJ Howard, the receiver we saw for a year and a half or so before he just disappeared. The Carolina Panthers are the third team we're going to talk about today, and I think they're slowly becoming one of my favorite teams in the NFL. Matt Rhule is still the coach. Joe Brady is still the offensive coordinator. They're bringing in one of these college-style, heavy passing offenses, and it's so exciting to me what they were able to do just in changing up how the personnel was used from Riverboat Ron in the past. The problem is, I'm not super confident in the quarterback play they have right now. I was actually thinking about this last night. You know, just random thoughts in my head. So they traded a second and a fourth or something for Sam Darnold. I know it was a second plus. Imagine if they traded a second round pick plus for a corner, and then instead of taking a corner at 8, they took Fields. I would be so excited for this team if it was Fields throwing to this trio of wide receivers.
Yeah, that would be nuts.
Like, you could get a fine corner for a second. It's not going to be as good as the one they have, but
yeah.
I would be so hyped on this team. Anyway, instead, they trade them for Sam Darnold, who, you know, I was a believer in at one point in time, but has never shown that he is a competent quarterback at the NFL level. Sam Darnold, with the backups behind him, PJ Walker and Will Greer, are this quarterback room, and none of the three of these names inspire confidence.
Sam Darnold, he's not getting benched. They won't bench him.
He is a long leash, I would say, with that duo behind him. So yeah, they trade a couple assets to get Sam Darnold, and Sam Darnold still has a good amount of potential. He's still young, but realistically, to bank on the emergence of Sam Darnold is to bank on this coaching regime versus Adam Gase's coaching regime. You're essentially banking on the fact that Darnold can't be that bad. It must be the fact that everything Adam Gase touches turns to shit. Because other than that, Sam Darnold's not been a good quarterback. The metrics are awful around his play. So despite the fact that this is an exciting offensive scheme, he's got way better weapons than he's ever had, etc., etc., he needs to improve a lot for him to not be a anchor around this offense.
He needs a Josh Allen type of level up, and that's just not a level up you can be hoping for.
I just want him to even be better than Teddy Bridgewater was last year. And at this point, I think Teddy Bridgewater is a better quarterback than Sam Darnold. He doesn't have the potential. And sure, Sam Darnold for Dynasty is locked into a starter position for at least a year and has quite a bit of upside.
Yeah.
But the floor is nothing. The floor is that he is the exact same. He does not progress. And in 1 year, next offseason, they're going and trying to go get, I don't know, a Kirk Cousins or something, because they're moving on to Kellen Mond, and they're like, okay, this experiment clearly failed. We have a good team otherwise. It's time to get a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I view Sam Darnold at this point for fantasy is, even if he hits and a lot happens, I still am not sure he's going to be a great fantasy quarterback. So he's someone I want to capitalize on some hype for. I've actually done so. I've traded him this offseason when he signed, because what I have seen on the field thus far in his career is that he is not competent enough to hold down a starting job. Between P.J. Walker and Will Greer, I guess I would go for P.J. Walker. Because, you know, again, last year he was the one who came in relief of Teddy Bridgewater, and he wasn't atrocious.
I think P.J. Walker has a higher ceiling than Greer for this year.
Mm-hmm.
Do I want either of these guys in Dynasty? Nope. But if I'm looking at, not handcuffing Darnold, if you will, but saying, I'll want one of these guys, you want P.J. Walker.
I would agree. He's got a little bit of rushing floor. You know, XFL specialist, which just excites me. Yeah. And
how could it not? It's the XFL, baby. I think that's their slogan.
Probably.
The XFL. It's the XFL, baby.
Yeah, I don't know. He's the one I would take. And I do think this is a good offense everywhere besides the quarterback position. So that alone gives me a little bit of excitement for whoever will be under center. At wide receiver, you've got a trio that I'm excited about between DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and the new drafted Terrace Marshall. DJ Moore had one of the most disrespected seasons I've ever seen last year. Throughout the season, having him in fantasy did not feel like he was doing quite as well as he was. The touchdown numbers, even though, sure, his quarterback situation may not have improved, is likely to positively regress, because he was at a very low total last year, and he is a very good wide receiver. We know he's going to soak up a good amount of target share and yards just correlate to touchdowns. He did not have as many as you would expect last year, so I do expect this year, regardless of the quarterback play, because it wasn't like it was good last year, he will likely have a higher finish in 2021 than he did in 2020, so he's someone I'm definitely looking to target right now.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, you've got Robbie Anderson, who looked quite good for the first half of the year and quite mediocre for the second half.
Yeah.
He is definitely someone I'm still interested in, but for his value, I really don't like that they went out and drafted Terrace Marshall, because I really believe in the talent of Terrace Marshall. The ceiling isn't quite what was there I guess, early last year, because it looked like he could really emerge, maybe even somehow supplant DJ Moore as the main target in this offense. But now I fear that by the end of the year, he's going to be the third target, or with McCaffrey, the fourth target on the team.
Who do you think is going to have a better year outright, Anderson or Marshall?
Anderson, because he's the veteran. I think Marshall's the type of player that comes on as the year goes on.
Yes, okay, I agree.
But in a year, I could see Robbie Anderson being elsewhere, signing somewhere as, you know, a wide receiver too, likely, and then Terrace Marshall truly emerging.
Okay.
A couple episodes ago, I used Terrace Marshall as my Dynasty Buy of the Week. He's someone I'm totally targeting. I really, really, really like the talent I have throughout the entire process. I think he's undervalued. And as I talked about in that segment, Robbie Anderson could leave at the end of this year. And hopefully they can find themselves a better quarterback, including the possibility that that better quarterback is Darnold finally leveling up. So either one of those scenarios, there is a realistic possibility where Marshall is the clear number two on a pretty prolific offense, and I'm trying to buy into that right now, or maybe mid-season if he hasn't blown up yet, because I just think the talent will eventually win out and he can be a really good fantasy asset. Below them, they signed David Moore from
Seahawks.
The Seahawks, and he is, I think, a very useful role player, but not someone I'm excited about in Dynasty. I wouldn't be surprised if he's the type that's starting ahead of Terrace Marshall for a game or two.
That's what I was kind of researching and looking into, is I think Marshall has to really impress at camp to even start getting on the field, because David Moore is too well-rounded an athlete that even when he was with the Seahawks, he was still catching touchdown passes, and good ones too.
That reminds me of Olabisi Johnson being in the way of Justin Jefferson.
Olabisi.
I drafted him in last year's Scotty Fishbowl, and that worked out for preseason, and that's about it.
Yep.
Then in the sixth round, I believe they drafted Shee Smith, I believe is how you pronounce it. And he is a very solid, quick little slot receiver. So as it works out right now, I don't expect a lot from him, especially because one of DJ Moore or Robbie Anderson will be playing in that slot role. But the possibility exists that in a year, Robbie Anderson leaves, DJ Moore and Terrace Marshall become those outside guys. And if Shee Smith is playing in that slot role, I actually did quite like the talent. So I like him as a sixth round type of late shot that he could, in his second or third year, start to see more and more of a target share. Then let's talk about the beast himself.
Christian McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey is an absolutely elite talent. You know, regardless of the quarterback play, he's going to see a very high total of targets, receptions, everything. He is that number one overall running back.
Yeah.
You should take him first in your startups.
Take him.
If you are in a single quarterback league. And realistically, besides, I would say, like, three or four names, I'm really looking at Christian McCaffrey, even in a Superflex startup. So I don't think we need to bear down.
No.
He's amazing. He's going to probably end up as the number one running back this season. And usually I would be throwing caution out there that, okay, this is a new quarterback, you got to watch out. McCaffrey is such a good talent, and at the top of the draft board, everyone kind of has some question marks this year, that he is just a bona fide 101 to me.
Christian McCaffrey, even last year, which was only injury for him, when he played, was unbelievable.
That's very true.
Take Christian McCaffrey as soon as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on. Chuba Hubbard.
Chuba Hubbard. Fourth round draft pick this year for them, and a very good handcuff to me.
Great handcuff.
He may not be the greatest receiver, but he's a pretty good kind of hit that hole, burst through it with some size and some speed type of runner. And what excites me is that whoever is the number one running back in his offense is going to produce like hell. And Mike Davis last year, I still don't think he's a very good running back, but he sure produced for fantasy. I think Chuba Hubbard, in the case that McCaffrey gets hurt again, can be that guy. He can just step in. He doesn't need all the talent in the world. He's not a top-end pick or anything. He's just good enough. He can be one of those guys that, as long as he sees the target share and he happens to be in the one offense that is committed to using one guy regardless, he's going to eat for fantasy the second he becomes that starter, if an injury does happen to McCaffrey. Then there's also Reggie Bonifant, who is another fine depth guy. Because of that same reason, I'd be more willing to have him than some other depth running backs around the league, but he's not someone I'm crazy excited about because they took Chuba.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think Reggie Bonifant, I'm sorry, my guy, Chuba's there.
He just got replaced. That's how it goes.
The tight end room for the Carolina Panthers Dan Arnold. Mm-hmm. He's leading up at the front. Welcome from Arizona all the way to Carolina, Dan Arnold.
Mm-hmm. He's a decent receiver. He's nothing too crazy. And we saw over the last 2 years, this offense doesn't pass the tight ends that much, but he has a little bit of ceiling. I expect him to do what he did in Arizona.
I would agree. And I don't think Matt Rhule's system would allow for Dan Arnold or Ian Thomas or Tommy Tremble, the two guys, to have a crazy high ceiling as a tight end. Mm-hmm. So he's just a totally usable guy that is leading this depth chart. The other names, as I mentioned, you've got Ian Thomas, who's just behind Dan Arnold. And the signing of Arnold is kind of a critique of Ian Thomas, who had the chance to earn his role last 2 years, to be honest, and did not.
Not only did they sign Dan Arnold, they also drafted in the third round Tommy Tremble.
Exactly. So Ian Thomas is the guy I want the least out of all of this.
For sure, me too.
Tommy Tremble is known for his blocking prowess, but he is super young and they did just draft him. So maybe for Dynasty, if you want to just take a guy, let him sit in your taxi squad and wait, sure. If you need points right now, Dan Arnold's kind of there and ready. He's mm-hmm. poised.
The name is escaping me. Who's your favorite tight end of the league that got drafted in the second round to the Bengals?
Can't remember it. It's Drew Sample.
Drew Sample. Yeah, that's Tommy Tremble. Same guy.
Same guy.
Yeah.
Also, favorite is a strong word.
Just wanted to throw you under the bus there. Big Drew Sample fan. Let's move on to the Atlanta Falcons, the fourth team we're going to be talking about today. And a new head coach and offensive coordinator, you've got Arthur Smith. And Arthur Smith is a coach that I think is a very good coach, honestly. I think this is a great hire. He comes from the Tennessee Titans. So he has ran that offense for a few years now, and we know exactly what that offense did. They ran like crazy with Derrick Henry. They used multiple tight ends quite a bit, and they used their quarterback to throw a decent amount of deep shots, especially when they really needed those chunk plays to come. And looking at their personnel, I'm sure the way that Arthur Smith is going to run an offense will merge a bit, because you just can't try to form fit different personnel into an offense. But I think there are elements there that he's going to bring to the table for Atlanta. And, you know, we were talking about this with Tom Brady, who basically implements his own offense. I think it's important to remember that with someone like Matt Ryan, he has that respect that he is going to be a big part of this offense. So we're probably also going to see a merge of the Atlanta Falcons offense that was already there. So Matt Ryan is the quarterback, and he's getting up there in age. They don't have anyone behind him, like a quarterback of the future. Many people said they should have maybe taken one at 4 this year, but they're, I guess, going for the win right now.
They're going for the win right now, and you heard it here first in the Deep Dive Dynasty podcast. Tyree thinks that Atlanta Falcons are going to be hot garbage this year.
Okay. I thought you were going to say they're going to be hot, like good.
Nope. I have no affiliation to the Atlanta Falcons, but I'm always kind of cheered for them, mostly because I think they got cool uniforms. No other real reason. I think they're going to be very, very bad.
Interesting. Okay. I don't know, other than maybe Julio leaving, why they would be much worse than previous years.
Because they've only gotten worse, in my
opinion.
Their
defense is better, though.
That's what you think. Watch them get injured.
They do that every year.
I think they will finish 6-10.
In that 17-game season, that's a tough record to get.
Yeah, they're going to get banned for being so bad. Damn, I have to recalculate.
Uh-huh, you got to remember these new records.
Season. Yeah, I apologize.
So are they going 6-11 or 7-10?
Oh, 6-11. They're only winning 6 games. Okay. That's what I should have said. It would have got me out of this trouble.
So Matt Ryan, he is up there in age now, 36 years of age, but probably has another couple years in him, I would say. And what you get out of this offense, and I think it will persist, is a high amount of passing volume. And one part of that is that I think their defense might be better, but that doesn't mean it'll be good. So I expect he'll be forced to throw quite a lot. And with throwing a ton comes a good amount of fantasy points. I'm quite happy to have Matt Ryan as my quarterback too. Not pumped to have him as my number one, but honestly, if you've got two guys in that range, I don't think that's that bad. Below him, you got AJ McCarron, so no real fear he's ever going to lose his job or anything like that. Yeah. Matt Ryan's one of those guys who's locked in until he retires, essentially. And then at the wide receiver position, I already mentioned Julio leaving. You've got Calvin Ridley as a clear, bona fide number one. Almost like
the man
we were talking about with Michael Thomas. He's in that tier of, he's so clearly above the rest of the depth chart. Calvin Ridley, he may be a little older than you think, because he came into the league a tiny bit older than most do, but he is still a fairly young player at 26 years old. And I think this will be a breakout year to the extent that last year was a breakout year. Last year, he was the wide receiver 5 in PPR. And sure, a lot of that comes in the fact that Julio was hurt all year, and so he stepped into a larger role than they anticipated. Well, now defense is going to anticipate it. He's clearly the guy, and I think he can match that again. I'm very excited for Calvin Ridley. I think he's going to produce like crazy. They're going to pass to him a ton, and he is breaching into that tier of truly elite wide receiver ones to me. Would you agree?
I think because of a separation, Calvin Ridley, doesn't matter if he's slightly undersized, he was starting to explode with Julio there. You were seeing that he's capable of 40-point games when he's operating as a number two. This is a big prove-it year for Calvin Ridley, and I think the Atlanta Falcons are going to be down in a lot of games. Their running game is going to be lackluster.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin Ridley's, he's the man.
I definitely agree. I'm targeting him heavily at where you can get him in startups right now. I find myself, having never been that into Ridley before this year, drafting him in almost every single startup draft I do.
Yeah.
Below him, I think you do have a pretty obvious top three. You've got Russell Gage, who is clearly the number two as a slot guy, and then Olamide Zaccheaus as the other outside guy across from Calvin Ridley. And looking at the rest of the depth chart, I think these are going to be the three that are on the field a lot. Russell Gage, I like him in the same way that I've liked Crowder in the past bunch of years, and that I think he'll just soak up a decent amount of targets in PPR leagues. He's likely going to be undervalued because these slot types often are. He doesn't have a super high ceiling. I think even if Calvin Ridley gets hurt next year at some point, he still won't have a crazy high ceiling. But regardless, he's going to be that usable guy, and I could see him having a Cole Beasley 2020 type season this year.
I think it's very possible. I just think with the alarming rate the Falcons are going to have to throw in my projections.
Exactly, me too.
Totally makes sense, yeah.
Then Olamide Zaccheaus is someone that I think is worth a shot because we have only seen it a little bit for him on the field. And we know when Julio was out last year, he did have some explosive games out there. With another year of improvement and the fact that they didn't really address the situation, he has a good opportunity this year to be that third guy on the field. And if he levels up even just a little bit, again, that target volume could be enough that he turns into a fairly valuable asset. Below them on the depth chart, you've got Frank Darby, who is someone that I wasn't super excited about. I believe they drafted him in the 6th round this year. Not someone that I'm insanely excited about for Dynasty in any way. But again, this depth chart below the number one spot, it's kind of open. He's got an opportunity. So if you're looking at these deep shot guys, I'm always considering the depth chart when I'm deciding who to put any draft capital into. He's not a horrible bet to take. And then just the only other name on there that I thought, well, I guess they brought in him who's got some experience, so maybe he could be useful, is Tajay Sharpe, a guy who's floated around the league. I don't know. This is someone
who's super, super speedy and is your classic. He's super speedy but can't bring other things that differentiate him.
And like both Frank Darby and Tajay Sharpe, these are guys that could get cut out of camp. But I don't see anyone else on the roster that I'm like, oh yeah, that's clearly going to be someone fighting for one of those top three spots.
I don't think they'll cut him. I just don't think he'll impact the team.
That's totally fair. Mike Davis has been thrust into a number one running back role after performance last season.
And he deserves it. I'm really happy after his performance last season he gets a starting role.
I agree. Good for him. And then looking down the depth chart behind him, I actually think there's a very good chance that he will get a significant amount of opportunity. So this team lost all three of their running backs that were used a decent amount last year. They cut Todd Gurley, they cut Brian Hill, and they cut Ito Smith. So there's three names. Everyone's gone other than Quadre Olsen, who's not done anything yet. And you basically have Mike Davis, you bring him in. You also bring in Cordarrelle Patterson. And then there's Javian Hawkins, who you grab as an undrafted free agent. Looking at this running back room, I do expect Mike Davis to see a very high amount of work. Not only is he going to be used pretty significantly in the rushing game, but he showed a little bit last year that he can be used as a receiver too. So as someone who's a one-year exclusively guy that you can plug in and hope to get running back two numbers, I actually do like taking a shot on him. I understand that people are looking elsewhere for upside. There's warnings that are very justified against going after a guy who's a one-year wonder, who's been a career backup. But look at the rest of their depth chart. If this is an offense that's going to be putting up essentially any points, as long as they're not the 2020 Jets, then there's going to be some value here. And if I'm looking at these four guys, Mike Davis to me is clearly the one who I want for fantasy.
Couldn't agree more. In fact, I don't want any of these other guys if it's not Mike Davis.
I agree. Cordarrelle Patterson has showed that he's a special teamer and not much of a running back.
You're right that the offense is too good for Mike Davis to not be relevant and fantasy relevant, and actually consistently fantasy relevant, I would say.
Yeah, then they have Quadre Olsen, who, sure, he's got an outside chance, but he's done nothing for 2 years. So you have to expect that, well, last year he was at least worse than Brian Hill and Ito Smith, so that doesn't spell a lot of fantasy upside to me. And then there's Javian Hawkins, who I referenced earlier. And I think Javian Hawkins is the most overpriced player in the entire league right now. He is being drafted as the running back 56 in Sleeper's ADP for startups. And that is 100% based off of the disbelief that Mike Davis can actually be a starter.
But you just watched him be a starter all last year.
Yeah. And here's the bigger problem. That doesn't mean Javian Hawkins can be a starter. Javian Hawkins is way too small. He isn't used in the receiving game. He's a little bit shifty, but he's not fast or explosive or anything that you're looking for in a starting running back. I don't even think he's going to make the team. I genuinely don't. He's an undrafted free agent. That's not even a crazy thing to say.
RB 57 is too damn high.
Why are people drafting him? It's so weird. Of like almost all of these guys that are getting a little bit of buzz as undrafted free agents, he is near the bottom. Like, I think there are over 100 players after where he's getting drafted that I would take over him. Like, he's not even close to someone I would consider at where he's getting drafted. I think it's absolute craziness that he's getting drafted at all.
Yeah.
That's my view on Javian Hawkins. I didn't come in hating the guy, but then everyone decides that he's going to be the starter for some reason. I don't know.
Mr. Hawkins, I think you're great at football, buddy, if you're out there. Yeah.
You could still stiff arm me into the ground, buddy. Don't you worry.
Absolutely, but you're... Yeah, even if he's on the Falcons come season, he's not taking anyone's role.
Yeah, maybe he'll get the Quadre Olsen treatment for two years. Okay, we got a couple of final interesting guys to talk to on this depth chart. The number 4 overall pick, Kyle Pitts.
Haven't heard of him. Just kidding. Everyone and their mama talks about him, posts about him, loves him. The most recent thing I saw was Kyle Pitts is most likely to become a Hall of Famer, so he should be 101 in your super flex.
That might be true, that of everyone in the draft, he's most likely to become a Hall of Famer, but that doesn't mean he should be the 101. So even since rookie drafts were mostly happening right after the NFL draft, Kyle Pitts' value has gone straight upward. It has skyrocketed. And I think most of that comes from Julio Jones leaving. And so you look at this roster and think, where are the targets going? Okay, it's probably this incredibly elite receiver they just drafted. It makes sense. I think he can easily be their number 2 target. It's totally in the range of outcomes. I do think it has gone a bit far. And I'm curious to go through the exercise with you of who are your top dynasty tight ends, if you like are going to rank them. I think as of right now, Kyle Pitts is going off as the tight end 4. And so you have Kittle, Kelsey, Waller. And the comparison then is you got guys like Mark Andrews, Hawkinson. Where does Kyle Pitts fit in amongst all of those guys?
I see the argument that he's 4. Because you could say, you know what? Noah Fant is on a problematic offense for the time being, so we can't... But I think he'd probably be my 4.
Okay. I think to me he's 5, and I hate putting a rookie tight end 5. I love Hawkinson too much that to me Hawkinson
would be my 4. Then
Mark Andrews, who I think would be the consensus next guy. Would you take Mark Andrews right now or Kyle Pitts?
I think I'd take Pitts more than I'd take Andrews.
That's where I'm at. And I hate it because I know the rate at which tight ends bust. And Kyle Pitts is someone that you can clearly look at as an outlier. He is the highest a tight end has ever been drafted in the NFL. He is an athlete that is unlike other tight ends ever coming into the league, and he's got the athletic profile that no one else has. Plus, he's clearly used as a wide receiver. You're not worried about him being a blocker. We've talked about all this in our Rookie Spotlight series. Plus, now he's in a spot where they're probably going to throw a lot and doesn't have a lot of target competition. And Hawkinson is in a similar vein to me. I'm just more sure that Hawkinson can be a very good NFL tight end. Pitts still has that fear that he can bust out because, let's be real, a lot of the first round tight ends we've seen in the last bunch of years have not broken out yet. You've got Njoku, Hawkinson. You've got OJ Howard. Hawkinson's probably the best of the bunch. You have Hayden Hurst on the same roster. You've got Noah Fant's been worse than Hawkinson. Like, it is hard to project these first round tight ends to be successes. It's just how much do you believe that Kyle Pitts is on a completely different level from all those other guys? And to me, I guess I do, because I take him at tight end 5, but I'm not getting him at drafts right now because I still fear that percentage that you have seen throughout history that just first round tight ends,
that's fair.
They do bust out. And then below him, you've got Hayden Hurst.
Oh, Hayden.
And honestly, is it not possible that Hayden Hurst also sees a decent target share in this offense? Because other than clearly Calvin Ridley, these two tight ends, they're just fighting with Russell Gage and Zacchaeus for targets.
He just burned me so hard last year that it's hard for me to forgive him.
As I was talking about personnel, I expect this offense to run a lot of 12 personnel because these two tight ends are some of your best receivers on the team. And I think, if anything, Hurst might be a little undervalued at this point just because, of course, no one's excited about Hurst. Are you kidding? We got Pitts right beside him.
I forgot he's on the team. Yeah, you could steal this guy for some chips.
For nothing. I'm sure he would be so cheap. So yeah, I think these are absolute tight ends you have to pay attention to. I would not be shocked if Hurst is annoyingly relevant. But yeah, Kyle Pitts is someone I'm very excited about now. Maybe a bit reluctantly excited.
Now's not the time to buy him. That's for damn sure.
Now is not the time to buy him. That's true. Although the thing is with Pitts, if you want to buy him at any point, I guess you're just banking on him having a slow start.
Yeah. Almost all tight ends have a slow start in their first year.
True. Hawkinson didn't for 1 week, but then the rest of his rookie season was awful. Yeah. I would, if that's how I'm approaching it. If he's not already on my team for my rookie drafts, I would wait. And I guess I'm hoping that he has a slow start. Because otherwise, I guess I'm willing to just not have him.
Yeah.
That's it, everyone. That is the NFC South breakdown in our divisional deep dive series. Before we close it out, of course, as always, we've got our Dynasty Buy of the Week segment. If you want to figure out how this segment's working, what exactly is going on, just read in the description below. But it's Toby's turn to give the hints, and Toby, hit me with hint number one.
I'm 6'4", 218 pounds, and I play in the AFC.
6'4", okay. So I'm going to expect that this is probably a wide receiver because tight ends are likely heavier than this, and most running backs are shorter, and if they're Derrick Henry size, they're more than 218. So it's likely a wide receiver, could be a quarterback. So a 6'4 wide receiver, I think Chark is too skinny. I think I'm going to go with Chase Claypool.
Love Chase Claypool, but no. Okay. I'm a wide receiver entering my third year. My rookie season was extremely promising.
Okay, third year with a good rookie season. Again, that makes me, oh no, I was going to say, again, makes me think of DJ Chark, but DJ Chark had the one really terrible year before he had a promising year, and then last year. So it's actually his fourth season. Trying to think of that wide receiver class in 2019. You've got, you know, AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, those guys. I don't think you would just say them being their rookie season was that exciting. You've got the trash bag from the Patriots.
N'Keal Harry.
I can't believe I couldn't even think of his name. Trash bag works. I'm definitely struggling here a bit, but I think this guy might have been in the league for 3 years now already, so I don't know if this is the best guess, but I'm going to go with Cortland Sutton.
God damn it. After two guesses.
That's so funny. I feel like he wasn't a part of that draft class. That's so weird.
Well, I'm impressed.
I still went with it.
I'm impressed. Apparently, you know your guys that are 218 pounds.
Yeah, that was the tip that got me.
Yeah, third hint was about his injury that kept him out almost all of that 2020 year. And let me tell you what I love about Cortland Sutton.
Okay.
One, he's unbelievably talented and fantastic. Now he's undervalued. One, he had an injury. Jerry Jeudy's there, big and scary. When Cortland Sutton played, even in just this first couple of games before he got crazy injured, while Jeudy was there, he was great. Mm-hmm. Too small a sample size for me to say go out and go buy this guy immediately, but his contract is up at the end of this year. If he goes and he absolutely balls out with the Denver Broncos, which is unlikely because of I know who's going to be throwing him the ball, it's Drew Locke.
Yeah.
So I'm not getting super excited.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to go somewhere and a team is going to pay him, I think, a lot more money than any of the free agents got this year. Cortland Sutton is a fantastic elite talent. I think he's going to be able to thrive in an offense that has Jerry Jeudy. It might even benefit him. And if not, I think he's going to go to a team that pays him a ton of money. And I think he's just under people's radar right now. And I think Cortland Sutton is a dynasty buy.
Okay, I definitely agree. I'm all over Cortland Sutton. You know, we did our breakdown of their division and their team recently, and we broke down that I think both him and Jerry Jeudy are values right now, and it all circulates around Drew Locke. He is way too good of a talent. He is going to get paid in a year, almost regardless. The only thing I will say is, I believe that you said in your first hint he is about to go into his third year?
No, fourth.
Okay, well, I think you said a third-year receiver, and so that's how I was thinking about it. He has had three seasons in the NFL, so yes. I was either thinking about it in the wrong way. Either way, I was lucky to get that right.
If I said it incorrectly, it's a good hint because it threw you off the chase.
100%, like, I said it while I made the guess of Sutton. I was like, I'm pretty sure he's not in that draft class, but Cortland, it's because the draft class I was thinking about, he wasn't a part of. So I was right. That one, but wrong.
I think that
was
all
right.
I meant to say he's had 3 years of production.
Either way, I somehow got lucky and got it with my second hit.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. We're well documented on this. You can go back and listen to that episode where we break down the Broncos just a few weeks ago. Sutton is a great buy right now. He's way too undervalued because he's just simply way too talented. Even if 2021 isn't his most productive season, there are productive seasons to come. So I definitely like going out and getting Cortland Sutton right now.
Wonderful.
Thanks so much for being here, everyone. That has been the 66th episode of the Deep Dive Dynasty Podcast. Next week will be our final breakdown, and we'll see if we have any info
on
Aaron Rodgers.
Come on, Aaron, for me, baby.
If not, we'll figure it out like we just did with the Winston Taysom scenario. And as always, we really appreciate you guys listening. Make sure to find us on Twitter at Deep Dive Dynasty. Toby, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, sir.
And have a good one, everybody.
Peace.